Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Forge D20 podcast. I am the Forge Master, Zach Coldiron. And before we begin this evening's episode of the Forge D20 podcast, I would be happy to introduce our first sponsor, Neg Dog Championship Wrestling. They'll be hosting their debut event, Music and Mayhem 1, on Saturday, January 25th at Circle S Barbecue in Hudson, Florida. The event starts at 6 p.m. with pre-show and live music hosted by comedian Lawrence Green. Then from 7 to 9 p.m., the wrestling action begins with superstars such as Sam C., Andrew Grandotto, Tommy Burns, Jason Knight, the King of Battle Nick Quinones, Gary Wolf, Bill Fonzie Fonzo, Trent Gaspar, and the Munich Mangler Krieger, and many more. So make sure you stop by as the Forge Master will be present as well. Make sure you check out the Eventbrite link in the description of this episode below and use code Forger at checkout for 25% off of your tickets. You can also watch live at negdog.com. And remember, NCW, we wrestle. Now, let's begin this episode of the Forge D20 podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Forge D20's Campaign Thrones. Once again, I'm your DM Hunter, accompanied by my brother Parker, my best friend Zach, and we're so excited to continue our campaign and continue on with our story here. To recap last session, the adventurers had finally reunited after their combat with the orcs and their combat with each other at the lighthouse, where the orc clan had made a small fortress that Hathoron was hunting. During this conflict, Hathoron and Daedalus fell from the lighthouse, fell into the waters below, eventually resurfacing later and having to hash things out between them. Alistair came face to face with his patron, who told him he can earn his freedom if he accomplishes some task for him. Once he completes these tasks, his soul may be freed, and he would be released from his service to Shivarat. He was also told that a messenger from Shivarat would be coming to assist him and keep an eye on him as a form of supervision upon Alistair. Alistair reunited with Hathoron and Daedalus. The three of them hashed things out and revealed varying different levels of their past to each other. Hathoron revealed that he had a sister and that things ended in a difficult way for him with his family in every regard. From his father to his sister to his mother, things are not peachy keen in his world, I'll use to describe. I think that him opening up was a big step. And in addition, Alistair revealed his true past, what happened that night, how he came to be packed bound to this entity known as Shivarat, what happened or what he suspects to have happened to his family. And he admits that it's likely his own fault and done by his own hands. And lastly, Daedalus came out and revealed his past as a slave. And that is where his vitriolic hate for the orcs comes from. And revealed his brand to the party, revealing that he was marked by them. The three of them having a further understanding of each other, a truth being revealed between each of them. They've now come to a new understanding of their oath to one another, their agreement, and they are now on their way back to the town of Phandalin. We're picking up from the previous night's rest. The party has now packed their bags, and as you guys sort of get your measly things together from the campsite, you start to gather around each other and begin to venture down the King's Road, hopefully getting back to Phandalin by a day or two's travels end.
Daedalus looks off to the horizon. He sees this sort of tempest brewing on the horizon towards Icespire Peak. He glares off into the distance, and he just kind of mentions to the two of you, "This can't be good. Perhaps the dragon is restless. Perhaps it's beginning a hunt. We need to move, and we need to move quickly back to Phandalin."
I agree. The dragon could come back and attack at any moment, and the people of Phandalin would be in danger. I say we make haste.
As you say this, Alistair, the three of you begin to pick up your pace. You quicken your steps, sort of double time things. You're almost at a light jog at this point with how the three of you are moving. As you journey down the King's Road, the sound of thunder echoes throughout the area around you. You can clearly hear that storm is getting more and more vicious. It is growing in size and is growing in strength. As you're journeying towards Vinalen, is there anything that the two of you need to ask or speak of before we continue on and we make our way through this traveling sequence?
I'm good.
Hathron has some questions.
Very well.
He's going to turn to Daedalus and ask Daedalus, is what you spoke of before all you remember of the clan that you served?
You see Daedalus kind of ponders for a moment.
I do not remember the name of the clan, but I do remember a very specific war paint before times of struggle, before a raid or a battle. The warriors would paint themselves red. They would paint their faces, mark themselves with this same mark that's on me. He points to his brand. They viewed battle, raiding and pillaging. They viewed it almost like a religious event. Zealots in their worship for whatever God perversed them into what they are. I cannot remember much else, but I remember that.
Daedalus turns and kind of raises an eyebrow at you. Why?
I believe I know who they are. The Blood Maw. They are a very respected orc clan. You're very, very lucky to have all of your limbs and be alive. Whatever ritual they did, you standing here is not possible. My father, in his quest to become the High Chief, King of the Orcs, whatever he calls himself now, the only clan he knew he could not face was the Blood Maw. Their rituals and their magics are cursed and overwhelming.
Daedalus kind of looks uneasy. And you can see this look of worry on his face.
You do remember what I told you all last night. There was some kind of sacrament or ritual that evening. They sacrificed the slaves. But yet here I remain. I was not burned by the fire. I felt it. I felt the pain, but I was not burned. Do you think, perhaps, they've done something to me?
From what I've heard of them, your every breath you take is a gift from someone or something.
Whatever it is, I'm going to make the best of it, whether it's a curse or a gift. I'm thankful to be rid of them, to be here. If we find them, if we hear of them, or if you know anything about them, tell me so that we may find them. I want to find the one who took my family from me.
If I knew where they were, I would be there now, I promise you that. If I manage to kill that clan, my father would kneel at my feet. I wouldn't even have to kill him. He'd probably kill himself.
They have quite the reputation, it seems.
They may not be the strongest or the biggest, but they are most certainly the most feared.
There was a witch or a shamaness. I could not understand her words. But over and over, she spoke. She chanted to the dark clouds above us, calling out to something. I can't quite remember word for word, but I almost swear she kept calling out, "Thot is Dun, Rylie, Fotagen," again and again. Thought is Dune, Rylie, Fotagen. She only stopped when the fire did not burn me. She told them to grab me and drag me from the flames. She's the one responsible for the mark.
I will not claim to know anything of any gods, but I don't think you have to be very well read to assume that that could not have been good.
It is not. There is something that clouds over me. I can feel its presence. There's something. I don't want to find them just to kill them. I want to find them to find answers. I want to be rid of this.
Maybe. Maybe Alistair's demon could answer some questions. He's the closest one to a deity. I assume they would know of each other.
Deity, probably not, but maybe a little well-hearsed in religion. Yes, I would come to that assumption.
Would it be possible to ask them these questions?
Alistair groans a little bit. A little irritated that he's going to have to call out to Shiverat, potentially. He sighs for a moment. Kind of wipes the sweat off his brow.
I can summon him if you seek this information. However, so you know, if you're not already aware, devils will not give you information for free. they will most likely want something from you. So I would be cautious if that's the route you choose to go.
You see Daedalus kind of like wince. On second thought, I think we will just go to a library or something, perhaps. Maybe research answers ourselves.
That sounds much more enjoyable, you ask me.
Speaking of your patron, he is a devil of the Nine Hells, correct?
Correct. An ice devil.
Do you know if he serves anyone?
Alright, this is not Alistair asking, this is Zach asking. Does Alistair know who he serves?
No. You don't know if he serves anyone? You don't know who it would be if he does?
Would he at least know the basic structure of how the Nine Hells works? Yes. They all serve an archdevil.
Yes.
Okay.
You would know that typically each layer of hell of the Nine Hells has an archdevil. Would you know who that archdevil is? I would say I need you to roll for that.
I would actually like to roll for that if I'm able to.
Yes, I would need you to roll me a religion check.
Oh, great. Something I'm probably not that great in, but I'm willing to take the risk. Let the dice tell it all. +2 to religion. I even took proficiency in it. Ooh, 21!
So, with a 21... you would know the basic structure of the Nine Hells, and you would know the name of the archdevil of that layer of hell, Levistus.
Well, I will say the way the structure of the Nine Hells works is that these devils, like Shivarat, they all serve someone of a higher power. And much like Hathron said, this ice devil might not equivalent to a deity. However, the archdevil might. And the archdevil of the fifth layer of hell would be Levistus. He might serve him. Not sure, as sometimes the Nine Hells can be a little complicated, but if I had to guess, that would be the case.
I'd rather not travel down that road.
You and me both. So, library?
Yes, preferably a library. Good. Instead of contacting a devil and then an archdevil, potentially.
I could never imagine being face to face with an archdevil. That's just a death wish, you ask me.
Hopefully the buck stops with Shivarat, and once we free you from him, it's over.
My pact is with him and nobody else. Once we break it, I'll be free.
Are you sure you can accomplish these tasks? I know we do not necessarily understand what they are, but one can only assume when dealing with a devil.
I have full trust in myself that I could be able to accomplish this task or tasks. It just takes a little bit of hope.
Daedalus gives kind of a half smile to that response.
Hathron gives a chuckle.
Valid.
Your optimism is inspiring, Alistair, but only time will tell what this devil wants.
As Daedalus says this, you see him kind of squint as he's looking up ahead. As you guys have been journeying along for probably a few hours at this point, you see him look up ahead, and he kind of motions for the two of you to stop.
Huh?
What the hell is... And he said, you see him point. What the hell is that?
And as you guys look down the road, probably about 50 to 75 yards, you see what looks to be a accident of some form, a wagon that's crashed off the road. You see it's been completely ransacked, but you can see some movement inside the wagon. Perhaps someone that needs help. Or perhaps a looter. You do not know. What do you wish to do?
I'll go check it out.
Hathoron wants to saunter on up. Alistair, is there anything you want to do as well?
Alistair's going to hang back. Be on his guard, ready Daedalus to Eldritch Blast.
Nice. Daedalus will do the same. He will stand a little bit back at the ready. Alistair, you watch as Hathoron approaches. Hathoron, begin approaching this wagon. And as you get closer, can you roll me a perception check?
Yep. Six.
Oof.
Well, thankfully you only needed a five to hear these things, but as you're approaching the wagon, you can hear bustling, rumbling. You can hear the sounds of things being opened and sifted through, and you hear a small voice kind of piercing in its origin, and the way it sounds, it is very unpleasant to your ears. You hear,
no, no, not shiny, no.
And then you hear once again the voice,
not what Falbath wants, no, no.
And you watch as things are being thrown out the wagon rapidly now. You hear more sifting and movement. What do you do?
I'm going to walk up to the wagon, reach in, and grab it.
Roll me a your choice of dexterity or strength check.
Oh, it's going to be strength.
Okay.
25.
You reach in, and as you reach in, you snatch up whatever creature's inside. And as you snatch it up, you hear,
let that mouth go! Let that mouth go!
And you pull out a very oddly shaped goblin. Very large head, big, cheeky sort of grin on its face. Has very short, stubby legs and short, stubby arms, kind of rotund in its tummy. And the goblin is in sort of, like, really rags, not really in clothes, just rags. And you see he has a small knife kind of holstered to his side on this makeshift sort of belt. He kicks and he wriggles in your arms trying to get away from you.
Let that mouth go! Let that mouth go!
He says. He looks at you.
Oh, hello. That mouth is most thankful you're here, great orc thing. Please don't hurt that mouth.
What happened?
Fat mouth can explain. Fat mouth found it like this. Fat mouth just looking for shiny.
He smiles a big cheeky grin. You see he looks really worried though as he does it.
Were there any people here before?
People. Yes. Fat mouth make them go away. Fat mouth scare them. They think fat mouth scary because fat mouth goblin. So fat mouth jump out of the shadows after their wagon broke down and fat mouth steal their things. I'm looking for shiny. Speaking of shiny, what is that?
And he kind of reaches over and reaches for your axe that's holstered to your backside.
That's shiny. Give me.
I'm picturing Hathron, like, he doesn't have him by, like, the neck or anything. He just has his whole hand, like, on his body. Kind of like...
like a football.
Yeah. So Hathron's just going to... he's going to squeeze it a little bit.
As you squeeze it, his eyes bulge out of his head, and you're like,
forgive that mouth! Forgive that mouth, please!
I loosen my... Hathron loses his grip. Not the axe.
Not the axe. Not the axe. It's not shiny. It looks shiny, but it's not. It's a lie.
Hathron's gonna turn around with Fat Mouth in his hand and, like, gesture Fat Mouth to the remainder of the party.
As, like, you
fucking see this thing?
As you lift Fat Mouth out into the air towards him, you watch his head kind of shakes around, shaking baby style.
Fat Mouth's gonna get sick. Fat Mouth's gonna get sick.
He just upchucks all over. Daedalus looks to you, Alistair, as you guys watch this in the distance. You see Hathron reach in, pull out a very oddly proportioned goblin. They have a dialogue, and now he's shaking the hell out of it as he waves over to us, and he's pointing at it with the other hand. You see him. Do you guys fucking see this? Daedalus looks at you, Alistair. Should we help the fucking thing or just let him kill it?
Alistair stares blankly for a moment. Kind of like he's a little annoyed. He looks at you, Daedalus.
First off, what the pardon my language, what the fuck is going on? There's just one goblin where there's one, there's many. No. This has to be a setup for a trap.
Daedalus' eyes squint. Oh, go ahead.
You hear Hathron, like, from the 30 feet away or whatever. He's like, get a look at this fucking thing.
Daedalus shrugs at Alistair and he says, well, if it's a trap, it's already sprung. Let's get over there and see what's going on.
All right, but I'm not dropping my guard for a moment. And Alistair's going to slowly approach, kind of like looking left, right, behind, making sure that they're not getting ambushed.
Give me a perception check, Alistair.
Absolutely. 14.
14. You see nothing. Everything seems calm. The only ones around you, other than Alistair and... you're Alistair, duh. Sorry. Other than Hathron and Daedalus, is now this little goblin crying out that his name is Fat Mouth. As you approach, Daedalus looks and he kind of squints. He makes this, like, disgusted face. He looks at you, Hathron. What the hell is that? That has got to be the ugliest goblin I have ever seen.
Well, Fat Mouth is not ugly. Fat Mouth is a very handsome goblin.
He seems to be a liar.
Fat Mouth is Fat Mouth. Fat Mouth, not liar.
Well, you look pretty fucking ugly to me.
Well, it could be Fat Mouth stupid.
Fat Mouth, not stupid. Fat Mouth may be ugly, but he not stupid. Fat Mouth thinks he's pretty. Speaking of pretty,
he looks over and squints at you, Alistair.
Give me the shiny.
And he points down at your rapier.
That's awfully shiny. Give me.
If you touch it, I will stab it through your heart. This is a family heirloom.
Family heirloom. Family heirloom. Very expensive. Very shiny. Might Fat Mouth just touch it? Hold it for a moment, perhaps.
No, because you're a goblin, you're going to run.
You speak true, traveler. You know goblins well. Perhaps you would do me a kind favor as to tell Fat Mouth your name since you know his.
Alistair, for a moment, just grunts out of annoyance. You see a very annoyed look in his eye, and he grips with his thumb and his index finger at the bridge of his nose, strokes it gently.
My name is Alistair Crowley Darkheart, Fat Mouth. I would say it's a pleasure to meet you, but it really hasn't been a pleasure.
Fat Mouth smiles, and you see him kind of look to Daedalus and Anathron. And yours?
I am Daedalus.
And you?
And he looks at Hathron.
Hathron turns his hand around to look so they're facing each other. He says, no.
Oh. No is an interesting name, traveler, but I will take note of this. So we have Alistair Crowley Darkheart, Daedalus, and no.
It's not my name. I'm just not going to tell you my name.
Fathouse will give you his own name then. Until then, big scary orc man. Is that acceptable?
I don't care. Yes.
Fathouse looks at you. Very well. Well, Alistair Crowley Darkheart, Daedalus, and I don't quite know what nickname I'm going to give you just yet. Also because if I feel like if I tell you what I want to name you, you'll crush me because you're squeezing me again. Fat Mouth can be helpful. Fat Mouth knows many things. Fat Mouth can be servant. You can free Fat Mouth. Let Fat Mouth go.
Any ideas?
Daedalus looks at Alistair and looks at Hathron.
Fat Mouth says he knows things. Maybe he can tell us something that's worth his life.
Maybe something about the dragon.
What's my life? You're going to kill Fat Mouth? I haven't done anything. I can. The dragon? Fat Mouth knows many things about dragons, yes. Many things.
You see, like, a look of, like, mental math going on.
Fat Mouth knows. Fat Mouth tell you. There's a sword. Big, shiny sword. Buried in the hills near here. This big, shiny sword was once used to kill great, big, green dragon. And maybe Fat Mouth knows burial site where the dragon is dead and great sword lays with it. Maybe Fat Mouth wants this sword. But maybe Fat Mouth let you have it instead. In exchange for letting Fat Mouth live, perhaps. Fat Mouth take you there.
A dragon slaying sword. Now that information could prove quite useful, if true.
Very true, Fat Mouth. Fat Mouth knows it never lies. No, never. Not to Alistair Crowley Darkheart, no.
Where did you find this lie. Information?
A friend?
He smiles.
Listen. Okay, Fatmouth knows about the location of this sword because Fatmouth likes shiny. Fatmouth is in search of great shiny things. I love shiny, like your little needle there.
And he points at your rapier.
And like his axe. And like that one's skin.
And he points at Daedalus.
I like shiny. this is big shiny. Goblins have a sense for shiny. We crave it. It's like I can smell it. So, I can take you there. You get big sword. Use it to kill dragon. And if Fatmouth lying, you let Fatmouth go with minor injuries, perhaps?
And you see his face kind of shake and cringe.
I think
if Fatmouth tell the truth, you give him shiny.
Well, we need to head back to Phandalin first. I say, we can keep note of that. But what of Fatmouth?
I can hold on to it.
Can you fit something like that in your pocket, Hathorn? I mean, he is quite small and you're quite large.
My name is Fatmouth, not it.
Maybe I could... I'll figure something out. I might just tie it to my chest and see what happens.
Ah, like a child.
Oh! Fatmouth's not against not walking. I mean,
he'd be too slow.
Listen, these little stubby legs can move, okay? I can run. That one even said, I can move. I promise you that. Put me down and see.
No. Watch.
You, gold one. Perhaps you could assure my safety amongst them.
Daedalus shakes his head.
You will take us to the sword when we are done in Phandalin. And if the sword is not there, then that will be the end of you.
Fatmouth looks a little perplexed for a moment, and you see a look of fear.
Very well. I assure you the sword is definitely there. As for the walking arrangements, how are we going to do this if my legs are too stubby and you won't let me down?
Hathron's gonna take some rope out and fasten like a harness and just shove Fatmouth in it.
So you've got him like a baby carrier on your chest, basically?
Yeah.
This big green orc that's so badass and scary with his huge axe has his little baby, like, it's a goblin, but he has a goblin taped to his chest, and the goblin's got a dagger. As you do this, Fatmouth looks at you. He looks up at you.
This is just degrading. Fatmouth deserves better than this. Fatmouth is not a child!
This is so if we get in a fight, you can take a few blows for me.
Oh, I'm your meat shield now, I see. Fatmouth is meat shield for big scary orc man. I will just call you that.
As of right now, yes, that is what you are.
He looks at Alistair.
Are you just going to let him use me as a meat shield?
Alistair shrugs.
This is cruel. This is most cruel. Fatmouth will remember this. Once we find sword and you grant Fatmouth his freedom. But very well. Take Fatmouth to this Phandalin. Perhaps there's many shiny for me to find there as well. Not shiny.
Anything the two adventures other than Daedalus want to do or say before we begin our journey back to Phandalin?
Nope.
Hang on. Yeah, no, shit. Okay. Yeah, I can't, I got nothing.
Okay. So, the three of you begin, well, the four of you now, begin a long and annoying walk back to Phandalin. The entire time, Fatmouth does not shut up, constantly asking questions. Why is your skin that color, golden one? Why has your eye got a patch over it? Did you poke it out? Why are you so smelly? Why won't you let me on the ground? Fat Mouse's legs aren't that stubby. Fat Mouse's very smart. Fat Mouse's not stupid. You're stupid. You smell. You're ugly. He does not stop for hours. Until finally you guys approach the ridgeline of Umbridge Hill. As you approach, it's been some time since we've been to Fendallen. It's been about 2 weeks since we last ventured here, and the last time we were here, Aelin Kuzarn promised to assemble a militia and perhaps begin preparations of a defense for the town. As you crest the ridgeline of Umbridge Hill, you see the windmill of the town that was once destroyed by the troll attack, completely repaired. In fact, you see a rampart has been built. In addition to the sort of balcony, you see a rampart's been connected to it now so that the guardsmen can use it as a sort of outpost as well. Lady Adapter still lives there. You can see her bannerments, and you can see many of her belongings still littered around the area. But you can tell that there's now like a guard actually stationed there to use it as an outpost for the town. You can see wooden barricades and sort of walls that have been put up in sections of the town to keep out uninvited and unwelcome visitors. It's not complete around most parts of the town, but a large portion, I would say 50% of the town in patchworks and in some greater lengths now have solid walls around them. In addition, you can see what looks to be from this distance, probably about a number between 6 and 10 different individuals with a very similar set of garbs and armor. It looks to be that the town now has a formal militia or guard force that has been formed. You can see as a handful or two or three of them are on a sort of patrol around the exterior of the town where the walls are being put up and built still by the skilled craftsmen of the town. You can see another handful or two or three that are within the town's walls doing some minor patrol work and hanging out in their normal districts and jurisdictions. And you can see the town itself is bustling and moving, and most people are indeed helping with the defense of the town or prepping defenses, building walls. You can see people are doing some minor fortifications within the town. People are building some forms of, I would say, lookout towers. You can see what looks to be work being done to the town garrison, as well as to some homes within the town. It's been about 2 weeks, and you can see all of these improvements that have been done. And as the three of you look out amongst that sort of bustle of the town, Daedalus looks to you, Alistair.
It seems Aelin kept his word. He has done a great amount of work here.
Absolutely. I'm quite surprised that even in a 2 week span, the city's made so much progress. They're well on their way to be able to defend themselves from a dragon attack, but they're not ready yet.
Far from it. Not until those walls are complete. And they get more numbers on their side for the guard force. But the three of us are back. And maybe we can go and find this sword. Of course, we need to go meet back with the Maester and meet back with Aelin as well as Nibin. If I do recall, before we left here, before we met Hatheron, Nibin beckoned us upon our return to come and speak with him, that he has associates that could be of aid to us.
That you're right. We should go visit him.
Daedalus turns to Hatheron.
Hatheron.
Yeah?
These people will not be accustomed to one like you just yet. Some may have certain dispositions towards orcs. But I assure you, they know Alistair and I well. Any apprehensions will be gone quickly. There's a man in this town. His name is Aelin Kuzarn. He was the one that survived the dragon attack on Icespire Peak. If we are going to slay that dragon, I believe it is important you speak to him so that we understand, or you understand, the gravity of its size and magnitude.
I am very accustomed to townsfolk not being accustomed And I will speak to this survivor. But you two, by all means, lead the way.
Daedalus nods and then turns to you, Alistair.
So what do you think we do first? We go meet with the Maester, we go meet with Aelin, or do we report back to Cornelius?
Strokes his chin for a moment in thought. Maybe we should go visit Aelin Kazarn first, then the Maester.
Daedalus nods.
It will be done.
Daedalus turns and squints at Fatmouth, though.
And you, if we are in this town, and you slip from Hatheron's grasp.
Oh, Hatheron is his name, you say?
Daedalus face palms for a moment.
Yes, my apologies, Hatheron. If you slip from his grasp, when we find you again, you will be skinned.
Oh, disgusting.
I'll be what?
You'll be skinned.
Oh. Fatmouth assures you, Fatmouth will stay right here with Hatheron. Yes, this is most comfortable, I'd say. Yes, Fatmouth enjoys this very much. I assure you, Daedalus, I will not go anywhere. I will plan on staying right here. Useless and meek.
That is good. Well, Alistair, lead the way.
Understood. And Alistair starts leading the way.
So, you guys make your way back to the interior of the town. As we're walking in closer and closer to the sort of exterior gates, the three of you notice the townsfolk are, they seem to have a cloud amongst them, some sort of melancholy that has gripped the town. They're working, and they're working hard on defenses, but there's a certain dread amongst them. A few people here and there do stop. They stare. Some even walk to the other side of the street as they see Hatheron approach. And as you guys make your way towards the garrison, you see what looks to be an additional two or three other guardsmen that are stationed at the garrison proper. And as you approach, you can see what looks to be a half-elven man. Dark auburn-colored hair. He takes a turn, looks at the three of us. His eyes widen. By the gods, you've made it back. Alistair, Daedalus, it is good to see you. Aelin Kazarn takes steps down from the garrison proper, meeting us in the street as we approach. He reaches out and he shakes the two of your hands, making direct eye contact. It is good to see you both. I'm glad you've returned. And you bring help?
And that's all for this episode, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for tuning into this episode of Thrones. We want to give everyone a special shout out for listening. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to this episode. And then we want to give some love to our sponsors. Neg Dog Championship Wrestling. If you go in the link in the comments or into the description below, rather, you can be taken to our Eventbrite page where you can purchase tickets for January 25th in Hudson, Florida, at Circle S Barbecue for Neg Dog Championship Wrestling's premier show. Those tickets will be on sale up until the date, and you can use code Forger at checkout. Also, want to give a special shout out to our patrons, Melanie Droz, Melanie Cochialone, and Anakin Gross. Thank you for listening. Take it easy.